This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47, Monday, the 4th of July, and you're listening to The Morning Run. We now shift our attention to the economic development of Sabah, or actually really the lack of it. Because according to the latest data from the Department of Statistics, Sabah's gross domestic product in 2021 was just 1.1%. And that's the second lowest, just above Pahang, which was at 0.9%.
Disappointing. Besides that, Sabah continues to lag behind with a poverty rate of 19.5%. This is three times higher than the national average of 5.6%. Now, on a related note, the Sabah government's strategic investment arm, Khazanah Sabah Berhad, for the Q, not a KHK, recently signed an MOU with Brijaya Land to study the feasibility of relocating the Kota Kinabalu International Airport to Kimanis. Now, this plan had been under discussion for around 2 decades now, as the current airport and its facilities are said to be utilized to its maximum capacity. So, is this relocation beneficial to the lagging economy of Sabah?
For some answers, we speak to Dr. Ferdowsi Sufyan. He's a senior lecturer in public policy at UITM Sabah. Now, according to the Department of Statistics' latest data, like we just said, Sabah's GDP rose only 1.1%. What contributed to this low growth in the economy?
Yeah, this is very interesting. So, you know, the growth rate is just 1.1%. But if you look at the entire contribution, Sabah remained the top six state that contribute to the country, which recorded 6.7%. And most of this contribution come from broadly agriculture, which is palm oil, and also petroleum. And on top of that, if you look at the state revenue, is recorded in last year is 5.4 billion, second highest after Sarawak. So this is very interesting, right? It's like a paradox of development. On one hand, the growth rate is slow, but on the other hand, the country is the state is so rich. But to show you a little bit in terms of GDP per capita, Sabah recorded 26,000, so which is still one of the poorest states. So this is the what I call a paradox of development. So the state is centrally rich but pervasively poor. 25% absolute poverty out of four people are poor. Now, when we talk about low growth rate, right, it's always related with downstream industry. And this is a long-standing problem. And we have been talking about this so many times already. Because if you look at the manufacturing, which is the key to expand the economy, Sabah only recorded like 7.5%, while Sarawak is 28.4%. And both states are rich, see? So clearly the problem in Sabah is the classical, what we call resource curse. And this is nothing new to us, right? So perhaps the problem in Sabah is that when it comes to economic development plan, so policymakers always succumb to what I call a low-hanging fruit syndrome. So they are very comfortable with palm oil, with resource extractive activities like palm oil, petroleum.
Yep.
Because it's quick money. So the need to diversify of the economy somehow. Lack of attention, and also the problem infrastructure on top of that economy become very slow.
Right. So the resource curse explains the paradox here. So the answer is to diversify the economy. What is the options for Sabah to diversify its economy? Because we've talked a lot about tourism in the past, which probably explains why there's this whole plan to do this export expansion. What are the ways for Sabah to diversify its economy then?
Well, diversify economy, we always can learn. We don't have to see other country. We can always learn from Sarawak. Now, Sarawak recently the World Bank came out with Sabah economic outlook. So it shows the development between Sabah and Sarawak. So Sarawak, in terms of diversification, specifically on oil and gas, there's a proper planning for that, and then there's a proper expansion of that. But on the other hand, for Sabah, it's more on extractive resources. So this is where the state government have to look at. Number one is the petroleum in terms of its downstream industry. And then second is the palm oil industry as well. Because palm oil, even though the palm oil, the ecosystem is big. right, when we talk about palm oil. But a lot of the downstream is in Sabah, but it's very low value-added activities. So low value-added activities, you do not need skilled workers. You don't need skilled workers, so you don't get paid much, right? So that's why you need to diversify to move up the value chain in Sabah economic development, the Sabah economic structure. So the structure here currently, we are still... depend on the low-hanging fruit, and then it's always depend on the extractive of resources. So this does not really pull the rest of the economy. Now, we talk about tourism. So tourism contribute in terms of service industry, 10 billion, and half of the service GDP depends on tourism. But what happened to tourism when you have the pandemic? You can see that, it's entirely... I could say it's entirely crashed because of the pandemic-induced crisis. So that's why the pandemic should navigate for new structural change in the Sabah economic development, because you cannot depend on tourism as much as it's important, but it shouldn't be the handmaiden to pull the economy, because a good economy always moves to a structural change, especially when endowed with a lot of resources. So this is not happening right now, even though it happens, but it's too slow compared to other states, especially Sarawak, which have so much resources, just like Sabah.
Do you think there's the political will and the sense of urgency then for these structural reforms to take place? Because the low GDP is not a new thing for Sabah, is it?
Yes, exactly. Low GDP, but again, contribute so much to the state. Always like that. For the past 10 years, we always contribute a lot to the state. It's always top 5, top 6. It's always that ranking, yeah? So the low growth rate, like I say, it is because of the downstream industry. Yes, political will. But political will... when you talk about political will, so it is important, because if you don't think about the economic justice, then therefore you will suffer from political ill. If you just think of if you just think of easy money, because palm oil is easy money, petroleum is easy money. You just have to rent, very simple. But if you don't start thinking how to diversify, now, this is not just the politician role, but it's also the state bureaucrats as well. And this is the problem right now, because we change so much of government. Now, when you change government, so the responsibility of carrying out the plan to ensure there's a proper development is always lies in the state bureaucrats, how they want to carry out the plan, economic plan.
Mm, so is the new airport easy money then?
New airport. It could be, because, they say elections is around the corner. So that's why... new airport could be easy money. But again, this is the interesting part about the airport, right? Because it has been, I think it's more than 2 decades now when you talk about relocations of the airport. Mm. But again, if you look at the agreement, it's between Kozana. Kozana is one of the state GLC. It is very rich GLC, yeah? And then with Berjaya Group. And you don't see Malaysia... You don't see Malaysia Airport Berhad there, right? So, of course, again, when you talk about these relocations of airport, the same state GLC also suggested very interesting plan as well. Mm-hmm. They want to come up with SkyTrain, with a lot of interesting plan, which amounted to 5 billion. So that's equal to a development fund we get from the federal government. And there's a lot of money involved, right? Now, when we talk about this relocation, right, this is very interesting, because when we want to relocate, we have to ask one question. What is the current problem with the airport right now? So, first of all, the current terminal can cater like 21 million passengers according to the National Airport Master Plan in a year, right? So if you want, because every year we have like, before COVID, we have 2 million plus tourists, but the terminal can cater 21 million passengers, right? And then after that, they argue that because there are too many private land, they cannot expand. So therefore, they have to relocate to Kimanis. But Kimanis also have a lot of private land. Hmm. So... it doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, the airport in KK is one, I think, is very unique because it's very rare airport, which is very close to the city. You don't see much. So that is our selling point. That's why tourism is there. That's why the hotels and the convention center is always use this as their selling point because it's so close and people like that. Mm. Right. So number one. And then number two, if you want to relocate to Kimani, now given our poor road infrastructure, so it may take more than an hour.
Yep.
More than an hour, right? So even though they say that, you know, we can build the road, we can make sure everything is fine, but according to RMK 12, Sabah is one of the states that did not comply with the National Physical Infrastructure Framework. And on top of that, there's so many seepage, should I say. Mm. Yeah. So is it under capacity? So this is another question. So it's not really under capacity, right? It is it's still within the capacity. So to relocate that, but based on this, the MOU they signed, they said they want to come up with a feasible study. So when they want to come up with feasible study, I think it's not really a concrete plan yet, right, to relocate. Yeah. So therefore, I think more work required. I think the best would be to stay in the city first. Unless there's a necessary, like a dire need. Otherwise, they should plan the proper infrastructure like road, utility, water, and all that. That's much more important. Yeah.
Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Firdausi Sofian, Senior Lecturer in Public Policy at UITM Sabah, explaining to us why this resource-rich state still suffers from low GDP growth and has one of the highest poverty rates in Malaysia. It seems like the wealth of the state doesn't filter down towards its people.
So the question is, how do you filter it down? And I presume like sovereign funds like this Khazana has probably the resources to do it and reallocate capital where it's necessary. Hence the discussion here, really whether infrastructure development like this airport in Kimanis really will help the broader economy, or is this going to be potentially a white elephant? In view of what just now Dr. Firdausi was saying, that the capacity of the airport is not at its fullest level yet. So the question is, could we have reallocated those resources in more important projects that are necessary to diversify the economy?
Now, the other worrying thing is, like we said earlier, right, it's the high poverty rate. Now, how do we then address that? And whether it should be, you know, we go back to this topic of cash transfers, whether that's really urgently required. But I think in terms of a longer term solution, I think it requires to raise the quality of human capital. And this is something that the World Bank, in their recent report in the Malaysian Economic Monitor, highlighted, is that we do need to ensure that the disparity between West and East Malaysia is narrowed. And they need to consider how to ensure that you can raise the education standards, because it's all about higher wages, better jobs. Then you have a more diversified economy. And I think that's key for the longer term prosperity of Sabah.
Yeah, so question here is, you know, to build human capital, you need to make sure that the industries that can absorb this human capital is essential. So the question here is, in the past, as we said, the issue in Sabah is that it's very resource rich. Okay, so you want to move downstream, you want to create manufacturing downstream on palm oil and gas. Mm. You also want to get into the space of tourism. Whether or not the human capital is geared to support the future economy structure in 5, 10, 15 years is the big question.
Yeah, but you need to prepare both to move hand in hand, right? So as you're building that infrastructure, for example, really if this airport is a necessity, then at the same time, your education system, your programs in the state have to be geared towards raising, or at least kind of raising the standard of the population to be ready to work in the tourism sector, right?
So you need the investments. And even as what Dr. Firdausi was saying, even if you have the airport, you need the road and infrastructure to do it. This will all require a lot of capital. Where's that capital coming from?
We'll find out, hopefully. Up next, the KLCI opening, as well as global market analysis with Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.